City Hospital. Today's City Hospital story begins late one afternoon outside the woman's ward. As Dr. Crane puts down the case history and says to the young resident who has been waiting for him to finish.
Well, Dr. Pierce, there doesn't seem to be anything very complicated here.
That's just it, Dr. Crane. When they brought her in, it seemed routine. A woman in her 70s, weakness of limbs, slight heart condition, blood pressure on the upgrade. We expected to have her back on her feet in a few days.
And instead, she keeps getting weaker and weaker. Does she complain about anything else?
Well, not that I know of.
What's a funny way to put it?
Yes, I know, but you see, she's some kind of middle European. There's something old world about her thinking. If anything else hurts her or there's anything on her mind, she can't or won't tell me.
All right, I'll have a look at her.
I was hoping you would. She's down there, the bed next to the big holly wreath.
Yes, I see it. Oh, by the way, how was she during the Christmas? Did that cheer her up?
Oh, as a matter of fact, it seemed to upset her.
Uh-huh.
Mrs. Panevska.
Hello, doctor.
This is Dr. Crane. He's our most important doctor.
Hello, Mrs. Panevska.
How you do?
Are you feeling better today?
No feel better, no get better anymore.
But why do you think that? Perhaps if you explained, we could help you.
Nobody can help.
But why? Do you think you have some special sickness?
Please, you nice man, look smart. Only some things nobody, not even doctor, can fix.
Mrs. Panevska, we've learned how to cure all kinds of sicknesses.
Before the new year, the angel of death comes. Already he makes my legs weak. Already he takes my blood. Oh.
All right, Mrs. Panevska. Let's go, doctor.
Yes, sir.
Here, she's frightened.
Yes, I know.
You've got to find out why she thinks she's going to die. Have you talked to any relatives or friends?
They don't seem to know a thing about it.
Well, perhaps if we found someone with a similar background, say, one of our social workers who was born on the Lower East Side.
Say, what about Lily?
Lily?
Lily Marin. Well, she hasn't been here very long, but she's very good, very well grounded in psychiatry. I've seen her handle cases.
You don't have to sell me, doctor. I think she's a fine idea. It was that first name that threw me for a minute. Was she on duty now?
Oh, no, sir. Today's her day off, but it just so happens I'm seeing her tonight.
Oh, I wondered about that. Well, if you can spare the time, why don't you stop back here with her?
Coming, Tom. Uncle Louie.
That's right. It's only Uncle Louie. And who is this Tom?
Oh, one of the doctors at the hospital, a resident. Come in, Uncle Louie.
Now, wait a minute. Maybe I better come back some other time if you're expecting
No,
company.
No. I've been wanting you to meet each other.
Oh, he sounds pretty important.
He is. And pretty wonderful.
Hey, this sounds serious.
Maybe. What are you doing here, Uncle Louie? I thought you were in Florida with the show.
We're laying off a month, so I thought I'd come over and have a bite with you.
Well, you can come out to dinner with Tom and me.
Oh, no, I'm not going to be a third wheel.
Oh.
I'll stay here, get something from the icebox, and listen to the radio.
Well, if you...
We can talk when you get back. Hey.
Hmm?
I guess you won't be with it this summer, huh?
Nope. Not this year. Now that I'm through studying and have a job at the hospital, I don't need the money.
Carnival's going to miss you. Best fortune teller we ever had.
Oh, some fortune teller. All I ever did was use the most basic kind of psychology. Oh, Uncle Louie.
Yeah?
When Tom comes, don't say anything about my being with the carnival, will you?
Why, is he snooty or something?
Why, no, not at all. Tom comes from a pretty fine family, but he knows all about my background, and it doesn't make any difference.
So then...
Well, fortune-telling is a pretty shabby thing for a trained psychologist to do. If they found out about it at the hospital, I don't think they'd like it. I might even lose my job.
Okay, let in your boyfriend. I'll keep my mouth shut about you.
You better. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Lily.
Come in and meet my uncle. This is Dr. Pierce, my Uncle Louie Beck.
Nice to meet you, Doc.
Oh, nice to meet you, Mr. Beck. I didn't even know that Lily had an uncle.
Well, I'm not around here much. I'm usually on the road.
Road?
Yeah, with the carnival. Adler's big top.
Oh, that sounds fascinating.
I'm the business manager.
Well, I'd love to hear about it sometime.
You would?
Well, of course, only I'm afraid I can't right now. Something's come up at the hospital.
Oh, no, not again.
Yeah, but only this time it's something we think you can help us out on.
Me?
Yes, I've got a case in the ward that Dr. Crane thought you ought to talk to. So I thought if we could stop off there before dinner...
I'll get my coat.
That's Mrs. Panyevska, Millie, in the bed, next to the holly wreath. She just lies there most of the time, except when she sews that lace.
Wait here, I'll talk to her.
Right.
Hello, Auntie.
Hello, lady.
I see you're crocheting a lace collar. And my mother used to make the same pattern.
Your mother?
Mm-hmm. I don't know where she found the time for it, but she did.
Why not? For such a nice daughter.
Who is your collar for, Auntie?
No one.
But, Auntie, it must be for someone. Why do you say that?
Because I will not have time to finish.
No time?
Only one more day left. I only have one more day.
Who told you that?
Never mind.
Auntie, you can tell me. Maybe I can help.
No, no. She said tell no one or the...
Or what? Auntie, who has frightened you?
Miss, you must not ask. The man with the three swords.
The man with the three swords.
Go away from all, Auntie. Quick, or danger will come to you.
All right, Auntie. But I'm coming back. Tom.
What on earth was all that?
Fortune-telling.
You're kidding.
No. The man with the three swords is a Simba, one of the tarot fortune-telling cards.
How do you know about that rubbish?
I just picked it up. Now, some of the older people used to believe in the cards. Now, look. Let's forget about dinner tonight. You go eat by yourself. I want to talk to her some more.
Oh, but
go on, Tom. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. I don't see what kind of psychology you can use in a case like this, but...
I know. That's the trouble. Auntie.
I told you stay away.
Now, Auntie, you have been to the Tsigans. Now, you see? I know. I wanted the gypsy say to you.
No, I cannot tell.
You can tell me, Auntie.
No, they have put a curse on me, and the curse will be on anyone I tell.
Not on me, Auntie. I have a charm. My mother paid a lot of money for it, but it's very strong and saves me from the curses.
Are you sure?
Would I fool about something like that? Now, Auntie, what did they tell you?
It is in the cards. My card, the Empress, and the Death card. And the numbers, 1958. The year of the new star, she says.
Yes, Auntie.
She says, the cards put a curse on me. I bring Gypsy $200 before the sun is down Friday, or I die before the new year. When I bring the money, Gypsy is gone. I look everywhere. In the back of the store where they live. They are gone. And they leave me with the curse. Oh, I am going to die. By tomorrow night, when midnight strikes and the year of the new star comes, I'll be dead.
Auntie, don't worry. We'll do something.
You're back early.
Oh, I'm glad you're still here, Uncle Louie. I wanted to ask you something.
Yeah, what?
Well, it's this patient at the hospital. She thinks the gypsies have put a curse on her, that she's going to die before the new year.
Oh, you know all about that racket, Lily. The gypsy will take off the curse if she gives them some money.
But they've disappeared. I suppose they were arrested or had to leave town in a hurry.
Oh, that's bad. If they think something's going to happen to them, it happens.
You mean she might actually die?
I've heard of it. Why don't you take the hex off her, Louie?
No. Oh, I can't.
Why not? You know the tricks.
But I just can't do it, Uncle Louie. Don't you see? If I walk into the hospital and start acting like a gypsy fortune teller, well, everybody will know about my working for the Carney. Tom and Dr. Crane, everybody.
Okay, Louie, you know what you're doing.
Oh, Uncle Louis, do you mind? I'm kind of tired.
Okay, I'm going. And don't worry. I ain't ever actually seen a case where somebody died from a hex.
Back to our story in a moment.
Let's talk about Social Security for a few moments. Social Security benefits to a serviceman increase with promotion and higher earnings in the years ahead. You'll be fully insured for Social Security with 10 years of civilian employment or service time credit. Actually, older personnel near 65 may require somewhat less than 10 years Social Security credit time in order to be insured. The law which brought servicemen under Social Security did so with a provision that military time back to 1951 can now be counted towards Social Security credit. That means, potentially, the serviceman can have 6 years of free Social Security credit. However, this free credit is only for servicemen who've had some active duty since January 1st of 1957. It was in January of 57 that servicemen began earning and paying for full Social Security coverage in just the same way as civilians. But for the serviceman, Social Security is something extra. Your service time now counts not only for Social Security, but also goes as credit toward regular military retirement. Have you investigated your Social Security benefits?
And now back to City Hospital. It's the next day, and her face drawn, Lily Maron has just finished telling Dr. Crane what she has learned from Mrs. Penyevska.
So that's what we're up against. I rather thought so.
Isn't there anything you can do, Dr. Crane?
I don't know. If she thinks she's going to die by midnight tonight, that doesn't give us much time.
But if you could only get her to live past midnight, wouldn't she stop believing in the curse?
Perhaps. Can you think of any way to do that?
No.
Then I'll stay with her and see what I can do.
Now what time? Must be late. But all alone here, I don't know. Now, what is that?
Now, who left your window open? You don't want all of that noise.
People happy for New Year.
They're starting early. It's only 10 o'clock.
Ten.
I hope you don't mind. I had your bed moved in here so that we could talk.
Talk?
Yes, about your children, your grandchildren. I hear you're supposed to visit your son in Bridgeport next month.
Was supposed to.
You will, if you want to.
Doctor, you like do me big favor?
I'd be happy to.
Please, you write my will. I sign it.
Your will?
Please. You got paper?
Well, yes, a notebook.
Okay. You're right. I leave my bank account $520 to my Ethel.
Yes?
In some U.S. savings bonds in top dresser drawer.
Yes?
Say it's for my niece, Marilyn, American name.
All right.
I got insurance for funeral.
Mrs. Panieska, I'm a doctor, and I can tell you you're a strong woman for your age. Now, why won't you believe that you're going to get well? That you're going to visit your son and play with your grandchildren? Now, just tell yourself that you will.
It's all right. I am ready now.
But you're not ready. Oh, hello, Dr. Pierce. What are you doing here?
Well, they told me that you were in here with Mrs. Panieska.
Yeah?
Well, after all, she's my patient. I'll stay with her.
Yes, you're really dressed for it, aren't you? White tie and tails.
Well, that's got nothing to do with it.
Why, of course it has. You've got a date with Lily Maron, haven't you?
Yes, I was taking her to a family party.
Well, then go ahead. I've got nothing else to do, and I want to stay.
Doctor.
But nothing. Go ahead.
All right. All right. Hello, darling.
You're late, Tom.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to take a look at Mrs. Panieska, so I stopped at the hospital.
Oh? How is she?
Well, she's very weak. Dr. Crane's staying with her. He's very upset. I don't blame him. It's enough to get anyone, seeing a woman's life slip away like that for absolutely no reason, not to be able to do a thing about it.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. We've tried everything. Well, never mind. Come on. We want to be at my folks by midnight.
No.
What do you mean, no?
I can't go with you. Not yet. Now, please, let me get at that closet.
Well, why? What are you doing?
Now, just go along without me, Tom. Make some excuses for me. Say I'm sick. Say I'm sorry.
Say, what do you got there? Well, what's that old shawl on those cards? Lily, where are you going?
To the hospital.
Who's this Kanyeska?
Oh, Miss Maron.
Hello, Dr. Crane. I hope I'm not too late.
Too late for what?
To be a gypsy here. Hold these cards while I put the shawl on. I think I'll get by in this dim light.
But what on earth?
Now, don't worry. I'll be quite professional. Thanks. I'll take the cards now. Now, let me get next to the bed. Oh, you'd better wait at the door in case anything goes wrong. Please, will the handsome gentleman stand at the door?
All right.
The gypsy thanks you. Lady, dobry večer. Your name is Pani Panevska.
Oh.
Yes. Yes, it is I, the Tsiganka. You have been looking for me.
The gypsy?
I have come to tell your fortune, to take away the curse.
Gypsy, you come back.
Cut the cards.
Gypsy.
Hurry, there is no time. You must cut the cards and send away the curse before the year of the new star.
Yes. Oh, my hand. So weak.
The gypsy will guard your hand. So, the woman has cut the cards, and now we will see. Aye, the empress.
That's my card.
Aye, the gypsy knows. Ah. Death card. The left hand, yes. The card of the star, that is for the year of the new star. And the right, Kundalini, the strength, the power. Aye, it will be good fortune.
What?
Breathe upon the card. Breathe thrice, three times. Now, again. Again. Away, away! No more curse of Romany.
It is over.
Over, good lady.
Oh, I...
The strength flows back. Blood runs strong.
I can sit. I can lift my hand. Gypsy, where are you going?
Open the window and let the new year in.
The new year... The new year, I now die.
No, the cards say the lady will be well and happy and have good fortune.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Gypsy.
Will the doctor come outside?
Certainly.
Tom. You're here, too.
Well, of course, once I knew where you were going. Now, Lily, where did you get that gypsy outfit?
Well, I needed money while I was going to school, so I've been working summers with Uncle Louis' carnival.
Telling fortunes?
Well, that's what we called it. Of course, all I used to do was give character readings. Surprisingly easy if you know anything about psychology.
Ah, so that's it. Well, why haven't you told me about it?
Isn't it obvious? Because I knew how you'd feel about it. Oh, you'd be shocked and upset and angry.
I'd be shocked and upset and angry.
Just a second, Tom. If you thought that, Lily, why did you do what you did just now?
Well, that should be obvious, too. Because Tom told me Mrs. Panevska was in very bad shape. Might even die. So, what choice did I have? I had to do what I could. Even if it meant losing my job here. And Tom.
I see. You know, I always heard that fortune tellers can't read their own futures. And it seems to be true. Of course, I can answer for your job here. That's safe enough. But as for the rest...
Yeah, well, I'll take care of that. Come here, you.
Tom! But I thought... You mean... Oh, Tom.
Well, I don't think I have to worry about your New Year, so if you'll excuse me, I'll go see it in with someone else.
Happy New Year, Mrs. Bennett.
With our American servicemen stationed in many countries around the world, they have a wonderful opportunity to observe new customs and traditions. What might have seemed strange before is becoming pretty familiar to them. For instance, in many parts of the world, young girls of the villages are chosen to preside over festivities of the group. This is true not only in the more primitive tribes, but also in celebrations in Europe and Asia at the time of planting or harvest. The dancing and music that accompany these celebrations date back through the years. The finest costumes are brought out for the occasion. The girls are, of course, symbols of good luck, and in the times of antiquity, they were sacrificed to the gods to ensure fertility of the soil, to bring rain, or to produce a good harvest. The ceremonies still survive, but today these girls are honored as queens of the festivals. Well, as our servicemen have observed, we have the same tradition in our own culture. The citrus growers choose an orange queen, the cotton planters a cotton queen, Portland, Oregon chooses a rose queen, Portland, Maine chooses Miss Halibut. We have a Miss America, Mrs. America, and even Miss Universe. Colleges and high schools choose a queen to reign over their harvest ball or spring festival. And so it goes. The same is true of other traditions and customs of all countries. The way of doing things may be different, but the ideals are the same. And it's by observing these customs that our servicemen are helping to maintain goodwill with other people in other lands.
Be with us again next week at this same time for another presentation of City Hospital. City Hospital, where life begins and ends. Where around the clock, 24 hours a day, men and women are dedicated to the war against suffering and pain. This series of programs is produced and directed by Ira Ashley and features Melville Ruick as Dr. Crane. City Hospital has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.